tonight preach for us, our school administrator, and doing a wonderful job. And he's also a good preacher, so a good singer. So, Brother Nick, you come.
Well, good evening. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. If you're concerned that I'll preach too long, don't be. Anthony Mosley made it very clear. He'll flag me down. He'll wave at me. He'll make sure we don't miss his dinner. Genesis chapter 12. Someone said the other day, you sure do cry a lot when you preach. I said, yeah, sometimes I do. I get emotional about two things usually. One is if somebody's talking about my kids, or if I have to talk about my kids. And two is if someone's talking about what God's done for us. And fair warning, both of those things come up tonight. So we'll see how we do. Genesis chapter 12, we'll start in verse number 1. And just read a few verses here, then go to chapter 13. Genesis 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Go to chapter 13 and verse number 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen, my herdmen, and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. With the Lord's help tonight, I want to share with you just a quick message. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Let's pray together before we start. Lord, I pray that you will bless the reading of your word, Lord, bless the preaching of your word. Please, Lord, do something tonight, not because of the speaker, not even because of the hearers, but because you're great. Well, thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as a recap of the story, God says here that he had blessed Abram greatly. He was a very wealthy man. The Bible says he was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. Abram did not want for anything. He had everything he needed. And Abram, of course, his wife Sarah, by the way, all throughout tonight, I'll probably say Sarah and Abraham and Sarai and Abram interchangeably because they are, but forgive me for that. But Abram had all he ever wanted from a wealth standpoint. Yet he remained faithful to God. In fact, in Hebrews 11, we see so many verses about Abraham and his faithfulness. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But Abram had all he ever wanted, and he was very rich. He also had a nephew that he had taken in as his own son named Lot. The Bible tells us that Lot had a lot of things too. He didn't hurt. He was doing just fine. I joked around with our high school students the other day about very successful people who just happen to have a more successful sibling. Like Eli Manning. He's not Peyton, but he's doing all right. They have another brother that's an attorney that's doing really well. but he's not Peyton or Eli, right? Well, Lot was doing very well. He wasn't Abraham, but he was doing very well for himself. And things continued to grow. Their wealth continued to grow so much to the point that they just couldn't dwell together anymore. They had too much stuff, too many people. It got to the point where the herdmen that Abraham had and the herdmen that Lot had started fighting amongst themselves. And Abraham came to Lot and said, look, let's just part ways amicably. Let's do the right thing. I don't want any trouble. We're brethren. We're family. Let's not make this worse than it has to be. Just you pick. You've got a choice to make. You pick one way and I'll go the other way. Whatever's best, we'll do it. If you want to go west, I'll go east. If you want to go east, I'll go west. Whatever you say is fine. So Lot had a decision to make. I think it's significant to remember that at that point, Abram did not have any children. God had promised him that he was going to make a great nation of him. And yet, in his old age, he had no children, which had to be confusing, right? In fact, we know it was because just a few chapters from now, we know that this angel says to the Lord, you're going to have a baby. And Sarah laughs, as in, have you lost your mind? Right? In my old age, I'm going to have a baby? Well, of course, we know that that was a promise from God, and it did come true. But at this point in the story, Lot was as close to a son as anything Abraham had. They were tight. They had a great relationship. And he said, look, you go your way, I'll go mine. We'll part the right way. We know that they're close because in chapter 14, there was a war that happened. And Lot actually got captured. And Abraham said, all of my men, we're going to go rescue him. And they did just that. They were close. They were family and they were tight-knit. But in this point, they had to separate. They had to go different ways. Lot chose differently than Abraham did. It was his choice to make. But he chose differently. We're going to look at three things quickly this evening about Lot's decisions and Lot's life that hopefully the Lord can show us something about our own lives with it. Number one, we see his decision. His decision. We read in chapter 13, verse number 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. At least growing up, I think I knew of Lot. I thought I knew what I knew of Lot, was that he was just not a great guy. But that's not true, scripturally. The Bible says he was a righteous man. We judge him because of the decision he made, right? And guess what? You would make the same decision, and so would I. If I put before you, on a plate over here, a hot dog with some chips, and over here, a perfectly cooked ribeye steak with a baked potato and a salad, you would be a fool to choose the hot dog, right? Well, Abram said, look, no harm to me. Do whatever you think's best. Here's this beautiful land, and here's this other one, right? Well, Lot chose, of course, what was the most natural choice. We're so critical of him, as we are of so many Bible characters, yet we do the same thing, right? Lot chose selfishly. He chose what he thought was best. In fact, he also chose what he thought would be best for his family. But we know, by the end of the story, this was not the best thing for his family. I think there's a lesson to be learned there. My job is not to be critical of anyone or anything. My job is not to tell you my opinion. But I will tell you, I'm troubled about how many times, not just here, all across the country. How many times parents say, we just need some family time. We're not going to make it to church today. I just haven't spent time with my family. My boy really wants to play baseball. But the only time they play is on Sundays, so we're going to have to do it. That's what he wants. I really want my girl to be in that dance team or cheerleading or playing softball or you fill in the blank however you want to. And yeah, look, we're gonna miss Wednesday nights. We're going to miss Sundays occasionally. But look, I've got to be a good dad. I've got to be a good mom. I've got to do the right thing. So often we choose what we think is good. But we're ignoring what's best. Lot chose something that was good. Beautiful land. Great future for his family. But that wasn't God's best for his family. What he thought was great, all this lush green grass and all the beautiful plains and where he knew his family could live forever, turned out to be exactly what caused the downfall of generations. Because he chose something good. And not what was best. Are you going to miss family devotions because you've got to have a family movie night and enjoy time together? God forbid you have perfect attendance at the home games for the Cowboys and you miss church. God forbid it. God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Either it's true or it's not. Either it's what God wants us to know or it's not. We have to make the decision. Lot made a decision. And it turned out to be the demise of his whole family. Not just him and his wife, but for generations. He made a decision. Number two, we see his dwelling. His dwelling. Turn over to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19, we'll start in verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread. And they did eat. As a reminder, Lot had been mentored by Abram. But there was one seismic difference between the two of them. If you look in Hebrews 11, it tells us that Abraham was a sojourner. If you happen to be in my Old Testament survey class at the academy here, you know what the word sojourn means, right? Hopefully. It means he didn't set up shop anywhere. He didn't stay anywhere. He lived in tents and tabernacles and he went from place to place to place. He never set up a permanent dwelling for him and his family. He never did. The Bible tells us that he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was looking for the future. What mattered most? He had the wealth to set up a palace. He had the wealth to set up his own city. But that's not what mattered to him. He was looking to the future. The seismic difference between what Abram did with his life and what Lot did is Lot settled in. Lot got comfortable. Lot did not see the world as just a temporary dwelling as Abraham had. He said, "I'm going to set up shop. This is where I'm going to raise my family. This is going to be home." That's what Lot did. It just happens that Lot made that decision in the most wicked place he could have ever made that decision. Right? How do we know that he was established? Well, he was sitting in the gate in Sodom, the Bible says. In that time, the leaders of the community were the ones that dwelt among the gate. They'd stay there and they'd make decisions for the community and they'd take on the business matters or whatever it may be. Lot wasn't just a member of the community. He was a leader in the community. Lot was established in a filthy, wicked place. That was his dwelling. We've got to be so careful not to let this world become our permanent dwelling place. It's not, but we can't treat it like it is. What do I spend my time doing throughout the week? Is it building a kingdom here, or is it building a kingdom for the Lord? Is it helping to build His kingdom? Look at your calendar. What is your time spent doing? What is my time spent doing? Am I giving it to God and His work? Or am I giving it to pleasure? Or even business? Or even my job? But in a way that I don't free up time to spend with the Lord, to worship Him, to serve Him. Lot's dwelling was different. I do think it's worth noting this. Turn quickly to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. As I said earlier, I think growing up, I thought Lot was a pretty bad guy. He's really not. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6 says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." What does this tell us? Lot was a good man. He was a righteous man. The Bible says he was vexed from their unrighteousness. In other words, it bothered him greatly on a daily basis. He cringed, if you will, about everything that was going on. He knew it was wrong and he did not condone it. Even though he was a leader in the community, he knew right from wrong. He was a righteous man. He had been trained well. He knew what was right. And it vexed him. If the Bible calls him just and righteous, it's a good reminder to us that even though we're saved, even though we're Christians, we can make a decision, a wrong decision that impacts us for the rest of our lives. Lot was a just man, but he made a bad decision. Keep in mind, the Lord had already told Abraham at this point that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And you remember the conversation Abraham had with God, Lord, what if there are 50, what if 40, 30, all the way down to 10? God, if there's just 10 righteous people, will you spare the city? And God said, I will. For 10 righteous, I will. Imagine living in the Metroplex and you say, Lord, if you can just find 10 good people, 10 Christians, will you save the place? Now, I don't know what size Sodom was then, but in any community, even in Hazlitt, Lord, just 10. We think sometimes that we're doing this by ourselves, that we're the only ones trying to do the right thing. We're not, but we think we are. Lot really was. Lot was there by himself. What a discouraging place. God forbid we get discouraged about his work, right? He was there by himself, surrounded by wickedness. He was all alone, except for his family. You imagine growing up, you're having your kids grow up in a place like that, where it's as wicked and as filthy as you can imagine? It was such a disgusting place, and I know children in the room, I'll use discretion, I promise you. It was such a filthy place that these visitors came, and Lot said, please stay with me. Do not stay on the street. I do not want the bad things that I know these people would do to you to happen to you. Please let me protect you. It was such a filthy place that they almost beat down his door, the Bible says, to try to get to these people. Lot said, take my daughters instead. Do with them as you will. They said, we don't want them. We want those guys. What a filthy place. What a disgusting place. And that's where he lived on a daily basis. No wonder God destroyed it. Those people had the worst of intentions. And Lot was there trying his best, doing the best he could to do right and to stand for right. Can you imagine dwelling in a place like that? That was Lot's dwelling place. We see his decision, we see his dwelling, and number three, we see his descendants. His descendants. God used these angels to tell Lot to get his family out of there. They said, get out quickly. Such a sad thing in verse number 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. What a sad state. He had lost all influence with his own family. He'd lost all influence over his own sons-in-law. Is it because he wasn't doing right? It really wasn't. His daughters had been sucked into the world. They were surrounded by it. They became part of it. And they married men who were also of the world. He had lost all leadership potential in his own family. Of course, we know that when they did finally flee, the angels actually had to take him by the hand and lead him out. And we know that his wife disobeyed and turned back and turned into a pillar of salt, because she just had to see it one more time. We also know, as they fled the town, and again, using discretion, his own daughters said, we don't think there are any men for us to carry on the family name with. So they made their own father drink and did terrible acts with their own father. What a disgusting thing. The Bible tells us that's where the Moabites and the Ammonites came from those two daughters that made those terrible decisions. That's where we get those two people groups. What's the point of all this? Those things did not happen overnight. Lot did not wake up one morning and say, here's what I want for my life. I want to dwell among the most wicked people I can imagine. That's it. I'll know I've arrived if I've done that. I want to lose my wife because she's so tied to it that she can't help but look back. I want my own daughters to be filthy people. I want my own sons-in-law to disrespect everything I say. I want the place that I've set up my family to get destroyed because of sin. I want to be part of the creation of two different people groups, the Moabites and Ammonites, who eventually fight against the children of the Lord, God's chosen people, fought against David, who try to destroy what God was doing. That's what I want for my life. There's no way he wanted that. And neither would you and neither would I. But he didn't have to. Because he made a decision long ago that changed his path just a little bit and impacted everything else that ever happened to him. What a sad thing. Lot had so much potential. By the way, so often we look at this group of people and so many others and think, man, what potential? What potential? But one decision, one choice against God's best for us, and years down the road we think, whatever happened? So often we see the end and we think, man, that guy could have done it. That girl could have done it. What could they have done for the Lord? But we don't see that very first decision. But if we could trace back and knew everything, we'd always see a decision. There's always something that turns us from God just slightly. And in the end, we're so far from God. That's what happened in Lot's life. He made one decision. He chose the plain of Jordan. He chose to face towards Sodom. He chose to just take a baby step in that direction. And then the rest is history. What a sad thing. What a warning to us. When we see a family or an individual that ends a way that they could have ended better, but they end a certain way, we know it can be traced back to a certain decision. Church family, I want to share my heart with you about this. We have to get out of our vocabulary. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with... Well, I don't think there's anything bad about... With all due respect, who cares what you think? And who cares what I think? What does God think about it? What does the Bible say about it? Do you want to know a sure way for me to ruin my family? Do what I think is best. Right? That's a sure way for you to ruin your family too. What does God say for us to do? What does God say for you to do? Well, I just don't want my kids to miss out on. Guess what? If you want your family to take a stand for the Lord, they will miss out on some things. And it's a good thing they're going to miss out on them. And what God has for them is so much greater than anything they're missing out on. Amen. We have to get our minds in the right place about this. God has a perfect plan for your family. Why would a holy God care enough about your family to have a perfect plan for them? Why? But he loves us. He wants what's best for us. He has a guaranteed ending if we follow him. I'm going to do the most dangerous thing I've ever done preaching a message. Could my three children come up here very quickly, please? Very quickly. Don't be silly. Thank you very much. And could I have Mr. Adam Ramirez join me too? Stand right here. Be extra good, all right? Imagine Adam. Is he taller than me? A little bit? Imagine him just a few inches shorter then. And let's just imagine that this is Nick Leper. How old are you? 15 years old. What a good-looking guy, right? 15 years old, living the dream, right? At 15 years old, I can promise you, Nick Leper made a few decisions that were not good decisions. Can anyone else testify to that at your 15-year-old self? Anyone else? All right. At 15 years old, Nick Leper had no idea that those foolish decisions would impact this, right? Because guess what? 15-year-old Nick Leper didn't think past today, first of all, and also didn't even know there would be a Lauren or an Adam or a Henry or a Sarah, right? Even further than that, 31-year-old Nick Leper doesn't have any idea what God has. What their children will be like. And just like 15-year-old Nick Leper could help make a terrible decision to impact all this, I still can. I pray the Lord does not allow that to happen. Not just for my life, but for yours. You can sit down. What could our families be for God? We have to fully give ourselves to him and say, Lord, I'm truly not my own. Teach me what you want my family to be. Lead me in a plain path. God, help me not to mess this up. I get one chance, and so do you. All of this terrible stuff that happened to Lot's family can all be traced back to one decision. And the terrifying thing is, we make so many decisions every day. We have to seek God. We have to beg Him to show us what that next step is, and that next step, and that next step. But we have to know it will never contradict Scripture. Never. Being a good dad cannot be an excuse for me not being faithful to church. Being a good dad cannot be an excuse, or being a good husband cannot be an excuse for staying away from God's will. They will never contradict. A baby step in the wrong direction today, missing one service today, and teaching my kids, hey, look, not a big deal, could easily turn into a generation after them of, who cares about church? Who cares about the Lord? Yeah, my grandparents and great-grandparents cared about that, but look, what a sad thought. What a sad thought. I do care about the next generations in my family, and you do too. We don't know who they are yet, but God has a perfect plan for us. God has a perfect plan for us. Every single decision I make as a Christian, as a husband, as a father, every decision I make impacts those three kids and their kids and their kids and their kids. God's been so good to my family, my grandparents, my mom, that side of the family. My grandparents had four children, two sons, two daughters. Each of them got married, had kids. All faithfully in church, good Christian folks. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the heritage God's given us. That doesn't happen on accident, right? I know by his testimony and also by the result that came from it. I know that my grandfather spent every morning on his face before the Lord begging God to give him a family that would be faithful to him. Begging God to do something amazing with his family. And you know what I do? Enjoy the benefits of it and nothing else. Right? That's what's happening in so many of our lives right now. We're reaping the benefits of faithful Christians from previous generations, in our family, in our churches, in our faith. But we've got to take the torch now. It's our responsibility to seek the Lord, to ask Him, God, give us clear direction. Let us follow You. I challenge you tonight, where are the families that are going to take a stand for God? Where are the families that are going to say, we're going to live a holy and separated life, not because we're special, because God's special. Not because we want to be seen of men, but because God deserves it, because of all He's already done for me. Where are the teenagers that are going to say, I'm not going to get sucked into the world. I'm not even going to give myself an opportunity to taste what the world has to offer. I'm going to be faithful to God. Because at 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, you have no idea the impact that what your decisions are going to make over the next several decades. Lot made one decision that impacted everything. We have to seek the Lord. By the way, I think it's worth noting, some of your families may have already drifted further than you ever thought they would. And with Jesus Christ, it is never too late. Thank the Lord for it. You remember we said that through Lot's daughter and Lot, the Moabites began? What series did Pastor just finish preaching about? Ruth, who was a Moabite, right? In the Messianic line. God's able to do incredible things. We have an opportunity to make a decision every day to truly follow what God's given us to do. How does this message affect you tonight? I don't know. Some of you may just want to come forward with your family and pray, Lord, protect us. Help us to make right decisions. Some of you may have never made this decision before that you want your family to do what's right. Do it tonight. Some of you may realize, God could never lead my family because I've never even given myself to Him. I don't know Him. However it impacts you, let the Lord speak to your heart tonight. My children cannot be the motivation, by the way. God Himself has to be. They will fail. And so will their daddy. But God never will. Let's pray together. God, we thank You so much for Your word and for this lesson we can learn from Lot. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in decisions each and every day, Lord. Help us to seek Your word and seek Your will and seek Your way for our families and for our lives. Lord, there's no telling the impact the people in just this room could have over generations if we would truly give ourselves faithfully to what you've given us to do. Help us, Lord, please. In Jesus' name, amen.